Mr. Speaker, the vast majority of doctors and nurses working in the NHS perform to a very high standard day in, day out. But everybody in the country will be concerned that some hospitals are letting people down. So Bruce Keogh's excellent and important report found, and I quote, frequent examples of inadequate numbers of nursing staff. Will the Prime Minister tell the House what he's doing to ensure adequate numbers of nurses in the health service?
Well, first of all, let me agree with him that the Keogh report is an excellent report, and it's right. When you have a problem of high mortality rates relatively in some hospitals, it is right to hold an investigation, get to the truth, and then take action to deal with that. Now, he asks what measures we will take. First of all, we are putting £12.7 billion into the NHS, and we have, over the course of the last year, seen an extra 900 nurses in our NHS. That backs up the 8,500 extra clinical staff since this government came to office.
But Mr. Speaker, the reality is that there are 4,000 fewer nurses than when the Prime Minister came to power. And one of the issues raised in Sir Bruce's report was about nursing staff. It was also reflected in the Francis report about benchmarks for the numbers of nursing staff. Given that there are over 4,000 fewer nurses, can the Prime Minister say how that is whether that is helping or hindering sorting out these problems?
He makes a link between the 11 hospitals that have been put into special measures and nursing numbers, and he might actually be interested in the figures, because 8 of the 11 hospitals identified of the 11 actually have more nurses today than they had in 2010. If for instance if you take the hospital in Scunthorpe, that was just mentioned, although that's on the list of the 11 hospitals, there are actually 100 extra nurses working there than there were 3 years ago. When it comes to clinical staff, actually 10 of the 11 hospitals have higher numbers of clinical staff. On the issue of the Francis report, Francis did not support mandatory nursing numbers. But let me say this, all well-run hospitals will have the right number of nurses and doctors and care assistants. And one of the purposes of these reports is to make sure that hospitals are better run.
Is, Mr. Speaker, that his reforms are diverting money from patient care, and across the health service, the number of nurses is falling. Now let me turn to one of the biggest health problems the country faces, which is around deaths from cancer. The government planned legislation on plain cigarette packaging, but changed its view after he hired Linton Crosby, who also happens to work for Big Tobacco in the shape of Philip Morris. Are we really supposed to believe that's a coincidence?
Well, first of all, it's clear he doesn't want to have a proper conversation about the health service, and he hadn't done his homework on nursing numbers. Now, he asks about plain packaging on cigarettes. Let me be absolutely clear about this. The decision not to go ahead for the time being is a decision made by me and the Health Secretary. If you don't agree with that decision, then you can attack me for making it. But funnily enough, it is the same decision that the last government made, and I've got here the letter that the former Health Secretary of State wrote to a minister explaining why he wasn't going ahead. And he said this letter to the Honourable Member for Dulwich, and he said this: no studies have shown that introducing plain packaging of tobacco would cut the number of young people smoking, and given the impact the plan would have, we'd need strong and convincing evidence to go ahead. And he hasn't got ahead. So let me summarise. If the right honourable gentleman's attack on me is that we're not doing something he decided not to do, I'd suggest a different line of questioning.
Once again, the Prime Minister doesn't know his facts, because in February 2010, my honourable friend, in his tobacco strategy, set out quite clearly that he was in favour of having plain cigarette packaging. And that quote is from earlier. And here's the difference, Mr. Speaker. My right honourable friend moved to that position in February 2010. He used to be in favour of plain cigarette packaging, and then he changed his mind. Can he now answer the question that he hasn't answered for weeks? Has he ever had a conversation with Linton Crosby about plain cigarette packages?
I've answered the question. He's never lobbied me on anything. But if he wants a lobbying scandal, why doesn't he try the fact that the trade unions buy his policies, buy his candidates, they even bought and paid for his leadership? That's a scandal and he should do something about it.
The whole of the country will have heard it's those same weasel words he's sticking to. He can't deny that he had a conversation with Linton Crosby about this issue. Even by the standards of this Prime Minister, this is a disgraceful episode. His own Honourable Member for Totnes, his own Honourable Member for Totnes, described it as a day of shame for this government. Mr. Speaker, he is the Prime Minister for Benson and hedge funds, and he knows it. Can't he see? There is a devastating conflict of interest between having your key advisor raking it in from big tobacco and then advising you not to go ahead with plain packaging.
This on a day when this government is doing something they never did for 13 years, and that is publishing a lobbying bill. And let us remember why we need a lobbying bill. We had former Labour ministers who described themselves as cabs for hire. We had cabinet ministers giving passports for favours. We had a Prime Minister questioned by the police under cash for honours. They are under no position to lecture anyone on standards in public life. On the day of a massive fall in the claimant count, a fall in unemployment, a rise in employment, he's got nothing to say. And isn't this the reason? Last year he said this. Next year unemployment will get worse, not better, under his policies. Nothing he say can deny that. Isn't it time to withdraw it and admit you were wrong?
The reality that he cannot admit is against the advice of every major public health organisation. He has caved in to big tobacco. That is the reality about this Prime Minister, and he knows it. It's Andy Coulson all over again. He's a Prime Minister who doesn't think the rules apply to him. Dinners for donors, Andy Coulson, and now big tobacco in Downing Street. He always stands up for the wrong people.
The reason his leadership is in crisis is he can't talk about the big issues. We are getting to the end of a political session when the deficit is down, unemployment is falling, crime is down, welfare is capped, Abu Qatada is back in Jordan. Every day this country is getting stronger and every day he's getting weaker.
Emma Reynolds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Prime Minister claims that he did not know that Linton Crosby worked for Big Tobacco. Yet, Crosby is at the heart of Tory party policy and strategy. Why is the Prime Minister developing a bad habit, perhaps an addictive one, of turning a blind eye as to who his advisers actually work for?
Explain to the Honourable Lady, the role of Linton Crosby is to advise me about how to defeat a divided and useless Labour Party. And I have to say, on the basis of today's evidence, I'm not sure he's really necessary.